Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. And I just want to give this little disclaimer here. I've never considered myself a real huggy type person, but I'm a little bit more huggy than I feel the freedom to hug right now. You know, and especially when you see people like this family over here that we haven't seen in so long, and these kids, they're like grown. And I want to hug them, but I know I'm not supposed to, so I feel very awkward just standing back, and it's like, don't come near me, you know. So I want y'all to know it's nothing personal. It's just what we're supposed to be doing. But I feel like I have to apologize and to let you know that I love you and that it's nothing personal. But anyway, and I'm sure everybody feels that way, right? You feel like, I don't like this at all, but we want to stay well and we want to keep other people well, and that's what we're told we're supposed to do, so that's what we do anyway. So Steve and I have been married as of last March for 36 years. And a little over, well, I mean, you know, if you've been married that long, you know it's really no big deal. You just take one day at a time and you trust the Lord, you know, and you thank him for the miracle of his grace. So that's what it is. It's just one day at a time, right? Because anyway, I say that just to say that a little over 25 years ago, my two children were dead. I wanted to die. And my marriage was about to die. In fact, I looked at Steve one night and I said, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be in this. I just want to be happy. And then that night I went reluctantly to a church service where a preacher was preaching on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And I have no idea what he said, but I know what God said to me through his word that night. And it changed the trajectory of my life, I believe. And this is a rabbit trail, I guess, but I was reading a little C.S. Lewis book this morning, and it had a quote from Mere Christianity in it that said, every choice that we make, every single choice that we make, puts us on a path to one place or another. And one leads in a good direction and one leads in a bad direction. And that night, that choice put me on a better direction, I'm sure. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. And that night, God said to me, as plainly as I've ever heard him say anything to me, he said, if you think the love in your marriage has failed, then what you think love is not love. Because love never fails. And I went home that night and I fell on my face before God and I said, okay, teach me how to love. Teach me what love is. And as those of you that know me well will know that I have not mastered it. But I do know it when I see it. And I know what it's not, based on God's word. And I've been thinking a lot lately, really the past few years, about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. He said this to his disciples. He's talking about the last days, and they're asking him for the sign of his coming, what it's going to be like. And he's been telling them what they will see and the tribulation that they will be called on to endure. And then he says a very disturbing thing in verse 12. He says, because lawlessness is increased, the love of most will grow cold. Because lawlessness is increased, the love of most will grow cold. And the word for love there is agape love. That is God's kind of love. It's the kind of love that we should have for one another, Jesus says. And it's the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 13, verse 35, where he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Same word in John 15, verse 13, where he says, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. It's the same word that Paul uses in Romans when he says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And here in Matthew 24, Jesus is saying that for most of us, things are going to get so bad that our love is going to grow cold. Now, for those of y'all that are interested in this kind of thing, Donald, the phrase there, to grow cold, is the Greek word P-S-Y-C-H-O. And I spell it because we want to read it psycho, right? So your love is going to get psycho. That's not what it means. It's pronounced in the Greek psychou. And it means literally breath. It means a gentle breath that you blow on something to cool it. Like if you're eating soup and you get a spoon of soup and you just gently blow on it so it will get cool enough for you to eat it. That's what that word means there. And so Jesus is saying that our love that's supposed to be on fire is supposed to be hot for one another. Because there's so much injustice and law breaking going on around us, it's going to be like someone just said and blew a cool wind on our love, and it's going to wax cold. Let me ask you, have any of y'all felt that cool wind blowing recently on your love? Because you know it. You know it when your heart starts kind of hardening. And you're like, I'm done with this. That's what Jesus says is going to happen because lawlessness is increased. And so to me, that's a warning. You know, I went to the dentist last week, and as I walked in, the first thing they did was what? They checked my temperature. Everywhere you go now, your temperature is getting checked. And I thought about that as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to check our temperature. What is your love temperature? Have you checked it lately? Has someone blown cold air on it? I want us to think about that this morning, and I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is often referred to as the love chapter in the Bible. The Apostle Paul in chapter 12, he's been talking about spiritual gifts because the Corinthians were known for abusing some of their spiritual gifts. They were a church that had a lot of them operating. They were visible, but there was a lot of abuse and jealousy and all of that kind of stuff going on. And so he's been talking about that. It's created disunity among the people because some people thought that certain gifts were better than other gifts. And he ends that chapter by telling them, I will show you a more excellent way. I will show you the greatest way. The greatest way is love. And so in that context of talking about spiritual gifts, that's why he starts out chapter 13 with, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, it's just a distraction. It's just a distraction. I mean, can y'all imagine this morning? I thought about having Paul come up here and just bang on the cymbals. If he just started banging on the cymbals, or somebody just started banging on a gong, everybody would be going, just stop, just stop. Now, if David played the cymbals, it would be beautiful, right? Then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, he's talking about all the gifts that he's been talking about in chapter 12, but do not have love, I am nothing. In other words, if I have all kinds of great and awesome gifts, if I can preach like Billy Graham, if I can sing like Sandy Patty or Barbara Streisand or some, you know, if I can sing even a way that moves everybody in here and you're all moved to tears and even the Spirit is using that gift, but I don't have love, I am nothing. He says, I am nothing. You're nothing. No value. You're not adding any value to the kingdom, no matter what you're doing. For the church, if you don't have love, you are nothing. And then he continues with, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, in other words, I become a martyr for the faith, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. You see, people believed that there was great reward in giving everything for the sake of the gospel. And with good reason. Because that's what Jesus said. If you look at Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, well, Peter asked him, he says, behold, Lord, we've left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. But what Paul is saying here is that if I give away everything, if I become a martyr because I'm so dedicated and committed to the cause of Christ, but if I don't have love in my heart, then it does me no good at all. So what? So if Jesus says that the love of most will grow cold in the last days because lawlessness is multiplied, and if Paul says if we don't have love, it doesn't matter what else we do have or what else we do, I think we need to take this seriously and we need to check our temperature. So what is love? This passage in 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is and what love is not. It tells us what love does and what love does not do. And so this morning, I want us just to go down the list and just look at each thing that God says about love. And he starts with love is patient. And that word there, patient, means able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Are you patient? If not, it's not love, because love is patient. Love is kind. Kindness there is different from niceness, because you can be nice and have a rotten heart. You know? You can be the nicest person in the world, but in your heart be the most wicked person in the world. Because of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. You're just being nice out of an impure motive. But kindness is different. Kindness is showing oneself mild instead of harsh. It's not weak or compromising, but it's gentle. Are you kind? If we aren't kind, it's not love. Love is not jealous. And the word jealous means to be heated or boil with envy, hatred, or anger. Do we look at others and want what they want? We want their life. We want their gifts. We want their whatever. We're jealous, and it really makes us angry that they have something that we want. Love does not brag. Do you extol your accomplishments excessively? You know, none of us want to be around that, do we? Love is not arrogant. Are we puffed up about ourselves and our abilities as if they were not a gift? I often remember that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, then why do you boast as if it were not a gift? And we need to just memorize that and write it on our hearts. Because everything that we have, every gift that we have, everything that we have came from the Lord. Every ability that we have came from the Lord as a gift. And so we should never be arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It is not rude, irritable, or ill-mannered. And that means to anybody. It doesn't just mean to the people when you go out. It means to the people at home. This can be very convicting. Are you rude, ill-mannered, irritable to the people in your home? If we are, then we're not acting in love. That's not love, because love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own way, its own good, its own interest. It puts the needs and interests of others before itself. Who comes first in my life? Love is not provoked. It is not overly sensitive and easily angered. It's not offended by those who disagree with it. You know, we are a provoked people. If anyone has a different opinion from us, too often, we are provoked by that person instead of loving that person, instead of letting God's love flow in us and through us. Love is not provoked. Do people have to walk on tiptoe around you? You know, this one and the next one are two of the ones that God has really hammered home with me in the last few years, because I have a history of being overly sensitive. You know, and if you walk with Jesus for very long, he will take that and he will put you in situations to where you're hammered, you know, until you get over it. It's like, I don't know if y'all found this to be true, but I found it to be true that if you walk with Jesus, if you've got something in your life he wants to get out of you, he will put you in that situation over and over again until you're like, okay. You know, it's like, I remember one certain thing God said to me. I felt like he said it. I almost heard it audibly. He said, okay, how many times are we going to go around this mountain? You know, and God is patient. He will walk around that mountain with you again and again and again till you get to the point to where you're over it and you're not provoked. Okay? Whatever you want to do. Love is not provoked. And this one, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. It doesn't keep score. It doesn't possess a file cabinet. Victimhood has become a way of life for some of us. But let me tell you, if you belong to Jesus, you are not a victim. He is your Lord. He is your provider. He is your defender. And you can love other people regardless of whether they love you, regardless of whether they like you, regardless of whether they treat you well or they treat you horribly. And you can leave it to him and say, Lord, it's your business, not mine. My business is to love them because you love them. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Do you trust Jesus to handle your critics? Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It isn't happy about evil or injustice of any kind, even over its enemies. Love does not rejoice in any kind of unrighteousness. It never says, well, it serves them right. It never says, you know, well, they got what's coming to them. Good for them. But love doesn't make excuses for the sin of those we like either. This is a double-edged sword. It doesn't rejoice in any kind of unrighteousness, no matter where or who it is. It's different from love wins. Because love wins in our society is code for rejoicing in unrighteousness. And that's not love. Love rejoices with the truth. It is happy when the truth wins out. It does rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things And I think this word here, it means to cover silently. It's not like the one we're going to get to in a minute, endure. It's bears. It covers silently all things. It covers a multitude of sin. There's several places in the Bible, in Proverbs 17, 9, and 10, 12. I won't go there now. And a few other places where it talks about how love covers. Love doesn't expose sin. It doesn't expose transgression. If you know somebody's in a sin, you don't go and just tell the whole world. If you love them, you cover it. You cover it until they can get it right with Jesus. Love believes all things. Love looks for the best in everyone, always giving the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't lose faith, even in the most desperate situations with the most difficult people. How many of us have just thrown up our hands with some people and said, there ain't no hope there? Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. It looks for and expects a good outcome. It waits for salvation with joy and full confidence. Love endures all things. It suffers patiently to the end. And love never fails. Love, real love, God's kind of love, agape love, never fails. It never gives up. It never ends. It is eternal. So let me ask you again. In the midst of the lawlessness increasing in our world, the injustice that surrounds us, the hatred and strife that is mounting among people who were once friends, the misunderstandings, the defensive posture that many are tempted to adopt, the fear, the hurt, the grief, and the pain, is your love growing cold? And what are we, as followers of Jesus Christ, going to do about it? And that's what I want us to think about this week. Ask God, take that list, just 1 Corinthians 13, it's in every Bible, and just sit with God and say, God, what do you want to say to me? Where is my love growing cold? And then next week, we'll talk about how God says we can keep our love from going cold. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you have warned us ahead of time that the temptation living in this world is going to be that our love will grow cold, that we're going to grow weary, that we're going to get angry, that we're going to get upset, that we're going to be provoked, that we're going to take into account wrong suffered, that we're not going to want to be patient, we're not going to want to be kind. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you and we ask you to search our hearts. We ask you to check our temperature. And then we ask for your grace and your mercy and your power to completely surrender to you and be filled with your love. And we give you thanks for that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.